Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. A big day today in Washington for a number of reasons. Let's start with this, Alan. The House of Representatives set to hold a vote to formalize the impeachment inquiry against President Trump. We are going to provide live special coverage from NPR beginning at 9 a.m. this morning. It's a huge day.
It is. As this thing keeps unfolding, what once may have appeared to a lot of people as so what is becoming very clear, a real embarrassment for Trump and the Republicans, because it's clear that he did offer a quid pro quo. And here come all of these people who were once unexpected but are now there, who have marched up to the Capitol and have said under oath that this happened. Trump really did say, can you help us out here? Can you do us a favor that will help him, but not the American people, and certainly not Ukraine. So he will be impeached. Whether or not he is convicted is anybody's guess. Right now, the guessing is no. But that will put the Republican senators who vote not to convict into terrible trouble, because these elections are all about the people in the middle, the so-called purples. And if purples think that the Republican senators are defending the indefensible, it might really lead to a turnover in the Senate, and these senators know it. So as the evidence mounts up in the impeachment process and comes before the Senate in a trial, it'll be fascinating to see whether or not there are some defections. We do see some Republican senators who may not be there or may be leaving who have spoken up about why this is a terrible thing. So, for example, Senator Cohen from Maine made himself clear this was not right.
And what does somebody like an Anthony Brindisi, a Democrat from the Utica area, congressman, do? Does he get in the tank or is he off the hook?
Well, he's under terrific pressure. It's a Trump district, obviously. He knows it. He won by the skin of his teeth. He becomes a congressman, and he doesn't want to lose it. Now, if there's a little bit of extra wiggle room, then the speaker says to somebody like Brindisi, okay, you're off the hook. We have a couple of extra votes, and you can vote no. But that will tick off a lot of the Democrats who, in the end, are going to determine whether or not somebody gets a primary, deserves a primary. So, for the most part, I think the pressure is really on all Democrats to vote for this impeachment resolution, even if it hurts them.
Now you also have what Senator Schumer is calling a collision course with the impeachment and the government potential shutdown.
Well, the American public has no patience for shutdowns of government. In the past, the Republicans have gotten the blame for it. You realize, of course, the president is a Republican and he's in charge of the government. So if, in fact, Schumer is right and the government is shut down as a result of this impeachment inquiry, it may well redound against the Republicans. I don't see a way in which it's going to hurt the Democrats. They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing.
We now have the former National Security Advisor, John Bolton, set to testify in the Trump impeachment inquiry. He's been summoned. It is supposed to take place next week.
Now, he says he won't do it unless he's subpoenaed. That's the first line. The second is, okay, you're subpoenaed. You're going to come? I'm not so sure. And here's why. A guy like Bolton close in on at the White House, gets up there for 10 hours. They're not only going to ask him about this. They're going to ask him about a lot of other stuff. And that's something that he's got to worry about.
Alan, there's a report, and Bill Clinton at a forum said that Hillary Clinton may or may not run again for election. He certainly can't run again for president.
No, he can't. Presidents are now term limited, two terms. She could run again. I don't think she would win, although I am sure, like everybody who's in a position to be president of the United States, it's got to be tempting. And she keeps her options alive by this kind of Clintonian discussion of her running again. And if it looked like they absolutely didn't have a person who could win, she might. Her argument, of course, would be, hey, I was cheated. I won the most popular votes. I'll win the most popular votes again. And she would make that argument. Somehow my instincts, and that's all it is, it's not based on political science or anything else, my instincts are she won't do it.
Well, the situation in California with the wildfires, and now these so-called devil winds, as the Santa Ana winds are blowing across California. One of the articles that is up for discussion on this week's Media Project is criticizing the media for not linking this more to climate change.
Well, you know, you can blame the media for everything, and the media deserves some blame for some things, remembering that the media is not one thing, it's a lot of different things. And certainly, you know, there are those who would say anything that the media does is okay. That's not true. We've all seen the media do some despicable things in the past, some parts of the media, I should say. Nevertheless, anytime something goes wrong, you can blame the media, and I don't think that's right.
Well, how about those Nationals? At last, they are the champions. The first time they won the World Series, it wasn't so easy either. They lost every home game, Alan. But they did it, came from behind last night in Houston, win the game 6-2, then started the joy.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm delighted. I'm delighted that the Nationals did it. Obviously, they had real problems to overcome, but they did it. And I think a lot of Americans are feeling good about the team in the Capitol doing well. And it didn't hurt that Trump faced cries of lock him up when he went to the game. It didn't help him at all, that's for sure.
A political observer, Alan Chartok, a home run as always. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.